In 2009, a group of Kevin Smith fans converged on Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Sent there to play hockey, they soon discovered their mission was full of hijinks, shenanigans, and a whole lot of beer and poutine. Having survived their first year in the Great White North, they return every year to continue the tradition. But in 2015, three of them decided to document their adventures, trials, and tribulations. If you have come to laugh, cry, or simply enjoy yourself at their expense, then you have come to the right place. You have come to Jim's Barbecue.
Hi, welcome to episode 12 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
What was that?
Dylan Gonzalez is here with us.
I'm here.
Jim here, and we got another guest back, a repeat guest, our Steve Martin, so you will to say, because he's been on more episodes as a guest host than anyone else, Mr. Jeff Quigley.
How you doing?
Who won't be doing the sign off this episode.
Episode 12. We're almost to the teen years.
Yeah.
There are officially more episodes of Jim's Barbecue than there are Star Wars movies.
Wow. So we can almost start sneaking beers out of the dad's fridge at 12, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, Dylan, what the fuck are you drinking?
Well, first of all, Mike, we got to tell the people where to find us.
Oh, fuck, man. Yeah, I skipped right over that shit.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JimsBBQPod. You can also email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Fuck, man. Yeah. What are you drinking, Dylan?
Well, prior to this beer, I had an awesome German beer called Etaler. I think that's how you pronounce it. Etaler Curator, which was a Doppelbach, and it was fucking awesome. And now this beer that I'm drinking now, it's actually, I'm going very international tonight. Actually, come to think of it, every beer, yeah, wow, that's crazy. This beer I'm having tonight, as I said, going very international, is actually Japanese beer. It's Hitachino's Espresso Stout.
Ooh.
So it smells.
I've had some of the Hitachino stuff, and it's usually pretty good.
They make fucking great beer. I love their Dai, which is their Blood Orange IPA.
Yeah. Oh,
that's an amazing beer. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. What are you drinking, Mike? Something new?
Yeah. Well, not something new, but just something out of the fridge, the fridge just keeps going on forever. I had a can of 21st Amendment's Monk's Blood sitting in the back of the fridge. So I pulled that out and just poured that. It's a delicious Belgian style dark ale. Man, it's got some sugary sweet fruit to it, like some dark fruits. It's pretty damn good.
Oh, wow. This espresso stout's quite nice.
So, Jim,
good shit.
I know we ask you every episode, but, man, what are you drinking?
I've got a Sprecher's orange cream.
Sprecher's, you know, come on, man. He drinks your stuff every episode. He'll design the jersey for you if you want. But you got to start, man. Come on.
And
you know, Jim, he loves the Sprecher's.
It is good stuff.
And to our guest, Mr. Jeff Quigley, are you drinking anything, sir?
What
was that?
I just like, in the background.
Was that loud?
Yeah.
Very loud. Yeah. What was that?
Yeah.
That's my kid downstairs, man. I'm sorry, that's my kid downstairs. No, I'm engaging in water.
Right on. Jim, last episode we were talking about you maybe potentially starting a juicing diet.
Right.
How is that going to affect your Sprecher's intake?
Probably greatly, considering it's high in sugar. I would have to say that I will. I'll keep the tradition going and have one during the podcast, but I'm really going to have to limit my intake. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Sprecher's, maybe you don't want to sponsor this podcast.
Well, maybe they do because it's so good I can't quit it.
You can't. Oh, you're going to quit it, fat boy. I'm going to fucking make sure you fucking quit that.
I'm too legit to quit.
How? You're like half a country away from him.
He's got Jedi mind tricks.
I have that power like, over the adults.
I know what you're going to do. What you're going to do.
Yeah, he cannot provide crack to me anymore. By crack, I mean visual candy.
Yeah, he's going to say, Jim, I will stop designing your jerseys. And Jim's like, I'm quitting. I swear I'm quitting.
So, speaking of weight loss, Jim, you brought this commercial up the other day. A Jenny Craig commercial with, like, the cast of Cheers?
Yeah, it was Kirstie Alley, John Ratzenberger, and, oh my God, what's Norm's real name?
Isn't that Norm? John Ratzenberger?
Ratzenberger's Cliff.
Oh, he's Cliff?
I can't think of Norm's right now, but, I seen her walk in, she goes, I'm back, and it was like the, you know, coming down the steps into Cheers, which was one of my favorite TV shows. Walks in, the bar's there, Cliff and Norm are at the bar, and they start talking, and then Jenny Craig's in the bottom right-hand corner, but I was hooked anyway because it was Cheers, and it was kind of cool to see it, and just kind of goes back to the whole thing we've discussed before, just the pop culture of everything we've grown up with, how it's come full circle again back to the things we've grown up with and the things we enjoyed. I guess, you know, it worked. It grabbed my attention.
To answer your question, by the way, George went.
That's it.
Yeah, George went. I had to look that shit up, man. Otherwise, that would have bothered me for the next hour.
Yeah, great show.
But yeah, man, I agree with you, man. I love that what is old is new again concept. You know, like we were talking the other day about how I was listening to this episode of The Nerdist with Fred Savage, and it totally took me back to the Wonder Years and all these old TV shows that we listened to. And then I was thinking about like a discussion we had not too long ago about a cartoon idea where it was like all the, I think we were talking to Jameel on our Star Wars episode about this, about how it would be like all of the TGIF characters in a cartoon together. Like they wouldn't necessarily all be in every episode, but they would go on like wacky adventures and shit. And I started developing like an idea for like an episode of that in my mind for some fucking stupid reason. But I think it was all that whole concept of just like what is old is new again.
I think it's probably because you're so excited about Fuller House coming back on Netflix.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
How in the fuck couldn't we not be excited about Fuller House?
I think the only one not excited is Dylan, so.
I mean, we're less than a month away, Jim. Less than a month away.
I'm ready for it. Dylan's the one that's like, I refuse to watch it. He's fucking angry about it.
I don't want to watch it. This show sucks. And I used
Dylan,
to watch
Dylan,
this
Dylan, Dylan.
Okay, yo, the Quigley is speaking.
I'm just. I want to get your input on it because I kind of am in your field. I'm kind of on your side about this. It was like. It was neat in the 80s. I don't know.
I really
don't fucking think it needs to come back.
Dylan, no, like two doesn't. In the 80s.
I wasn't even born in the 80s.
Oh.
But I used to watch the reruns when I was little, like in the morning. Like,
I had this drunken woman come up to me in a place in Ottawa.
This is a great story.
And she'd be like, oh my God, you look like Uncle Jesse. I love you. And I'm like, I'm 19 years old. Like, leave me alone. And yeah, man, like that's the only benefit that whatever this stupid
Well,
show
listen,
was.
Man, you know what? You're a big shit comic book artist now, right? Jeff Quigley drew his comic book.
I love you, Dylan.
But listen, man, you've got connections.
I'm
going to
give you a reach around next time we're in Bradford.
Now, listen, man, you've got connections. Somewhere down the line, you might be able to meet, what's his name?
Uncle Jesse?
Uncle Jesse. And you can tell him the story about how some drunken woman came up to you when you were 19 and said that you looked like him. And I don't know what his reaction's going to be, but...
I think this is the biggest mistake anything has been. Oh God, the reboot of this series is oh god, it's probably gonna be the downfall
of Netflix.
of Netflix.
Yeah. Let's not go to civilization. I refuse to live on a planet where the downfall of civilization is Full House Part 2.
Also do sort of some Marvel characters and if it goes bad, but what I got out of the story, I'm not sure what everybody else does. If some lady came up to you at age 19 and mistaken you for Uncle Jesse, you rock the mullet?
Mistook you.
Whatever fucking English grammar Nazi.
I'm not Uncle Jesse, huh?
No, hold on a sec. Let's back that fucking truck up a bit there. It wasn't that she mistaken me from... confused.
Oh my god, he's rubbing off on you.
She kind of went, you kind of look like Uncle Jesse. Which could mean... At that point in time, could have meant... I could sleep with you tonight, but I'm too drunk. So it doesn't matter.
If I kind of squinch my eyes a little bit, I might be able to get past it.
Absolutely. You've got it. You've got it right there.
Okay, it's but like, you still didn't answer the question. Did you have a mullet?
Of course I had a mullet. It was the fucking 90s.
Dude, that is awesome. We need a picture.
No, that's not awesome.
Dude, I had a hockey mullet back in the day, too.
Dude, man, I was fucking...
Dude, I had a hockey mullet last year. I cut that shit off.
That'd be like some woman, like, squinching and, like, when Dylan had his long hair and going, yeah, you kind of look like Kirk Hammett. I guess you'll do.
Yeah.
You know, it would be even funnier if they're like, yeah, you kind of look like Paul Saunders.
Oh. No, come on. Oh, you're just...
Wow, that's...
That'd be funny.
Dylan could only wish that he looked like Paul.
I think we might need to have Paul back on an episode and play that clip for him to see how he feels about it.
He probably can't.
Possibly.
Well, he'd be like, nothing weird.
You know, I mean, January 2017, Paul is definitely going to be on an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, that might be the fun thing, is to see how many blue-haired women on the cruise ship try and pick Dylan up.
Blue-haired women?
Come on, you've never heard like that phrase, like these old ass fucking women.
Dude, oh, is that? I thought you literally meant like women with blue hair.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's.
You would go over well on the Cougar Cruise, Dylan.
I think he's going to go over well on this one. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What cruise is he going on?
Oh, we have the inaugural Jim's BBQ Podcast inaugural fan cruise.
Oh. Awesome.
We're already going on a cruise.
We've got one fan in Wisconsin, but he'll probably show up.
Yeah. No,
he's still going to be in prison.
What if Dylan would have gave him a name and just randomly picked Steve?
Oh, that would have been great.
But,
yeah, it's funny. It's funny, Jeff, just to give you a little bit of background, like the first episode, literally, we go, well, what happens if we get big in Wisconsin?
That's
and we just
be
start
like
naming like
gonna...
we just start Sorry, like naming Mike. Like random towns in Wisconsin, like just yeah, like all of a sudden we have like a huge listenership in Sheboygan. And
hey, my friend was my friend's father was the mayor of Sheboygan.
Yeah, and then all this shit came out about the Averys and all this stuff, and we're like, maybe we don't want to be big in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but could you imagine how great that would be if like that was our first live show? And you know how they always do big in Japan? We could have big in Wisconsin. Have I made that joke already? I don't remember.
No, but I thought you refused to go on a podcast tour to Wisconsin.
Shit. I just threw something at my iPad by accident. what'd you say, Jim?
I thought you said you refused to go on a podcast tour to Wisconsin.
Well, after watching the documentary, I don't feel so good about it, but I might do it for the novelty.
And by podcast tour, I just meant the three of us actually going there to do something.
Well, I don't
like. We literally just like we go, we get a hotel room at like some shitty like Days Inn in like the middle of Wisconsin, and we record a episode of Jim's BBQ podcast while we're just staring at each other.
An episode,
yeah. Like Dylan's in his you know his tight ass jeans and his flannel shirt. I'm wearing a t-shirt and basketball shorts, and Jim is wearing a hockey jersey and
basketball
shorts. Yes.
And Dylan has some like weird haircut.
Oh, and Dylan's got a whole lot of hair product in too.
Can I add a little something to that?
Sure.
Are you adding Jeff Quigley to the mix?
No. Not just me, but the funny thing about the whole Manitowoc and thing, or whatever you call it, and making a murderer, you know, that fun stuff. My friend Seton, who is Mexican, his father actually was the mayor of Sheboygan during this time, and a bunch of times he was kicked out of nightclubs just for being Mexican looking when this whole thing was happening. So it was kind of neat to be able to talk to somebody who was there during the same time that this whole
debacle,
making a murderer thing was happening on Netflix. So it was kind of cool. But hey,
So Jeff, are you implying that like we might get in trouble if we bring Dylan along with us?
Well, like, Dylan, guys, it's fine. We have former mayor of Sheboygan here, and he's Mexican too. Like, well, not Mexican. Oh, well, sorry, Dylan, you're fucked.
Dylan, I don't give a shit, man. You're awesome.
No, you don't. Doing. You don't. But
how about if we all just sit there, like, we go, hi, welcome to Jim's BBQ podcast. And they're like, they're sitting there watching us do it, and we all just sit there for an hour and a half just going, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be like, that's the best podcast ever.
What'd you think of that? Was it good? Yeah.
Say, should we open the floor to questions?
Yeah. So who's got a question for us? Me.
Yeah.
What's your question? Yeah. Okay, it's turning into that. We can't let it turn into that.
I told you, man, you keep doing it, it's going to turn into a habit, and you're going to do it all the time.
Oh, my God.
I think Quigley just took a – I think he just took a bullet.
I just – oh, my God. You guys are killing me. This is funny. Sorry.
So Fuller House, you ready, Dylan?
No.
Full circle.
I was really hoping we weren't going to talk about it anymore.
Well, like we were talking about like stuff we grew up with and like, you know, stuff that's old, that's coming back. Did y'all see like this thing with, where they're doing like some sort of Friends reunion?
Really? A show? Or
yeah.
God, another show I watched so much of that I don't really like.
I was so confused on it. I don't know if they're doing like a fucking, like a scripted, like reunion episode of it. Or if they're just like sitting around talking about the show itself, like the actual actors, it's been so entirely like elusive.
All I know is Matthew Perry is not involved in it because he's, I don't know, too busy fueling his addiction to pills or something. I don't know.
Wow, aren't you cynical, man? He's been clean for years.
Has he really? I mean, it's been a while since I picked up a tabloid, so.
But then there's something about, like, a couple of them, I think, are, like, together, like, as a couple.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I can't remember who. I
Ross and Rachel?
No, oh, no.
Guys, it's me, Ross.
What the fuck is that?
David Schwimmer annoys me.
I can't tell.
Oh, okay, shit. Yeah, it got refuted. It was a rumor about Courtney Cox and Matt LeBlanc being together, but apparently it's not the case.
Matt LeBlanc.
Joey.
He I don't know why. I think I know this just because I went to go see it, but my buddy and I went to go see that Jonah Hex, that terrible DC movie, because we knew it was going to be bad, but we knew we'd probably enjoy it. And we saw it for free. We had like a free movie Tuesday thing. And our eyes like lit up and we started like howling with laughter when we saw that somehow Matt LeBlanc had signed on as a producer for Jonah Hex. I don't know what, but it's like, I'm going to take my friend's money and I'm going to produce this terrible Western that DC's making.
He probably just put $1,000 into the Kickstarter campaign and got a producer credit.
Probably. The only good thing about that movie was that Mastodon did the soundtrack. And even that wasn't that great.
Yeah, see, even I just read an article about it, and even the article just doesn't give you any information about whether it's like going to be like a reunion episode of the show, or if it's just like them talking up. Like, it sounds like it's going to be like a tribute to James Burrows, who, you know, helmed Taxi and Cheers and Bob Newhart and all these other shows. It doesn't give you any idea if it's going to just be like some sort of thing where they talk about him, or if they're going to actually, like, they're filming like a 2-hour episode of the show. It's fucked up. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see. We'll keep tabs on that and let you guys know.
More to come.
And Dylan, I'm sure, will be equally angry no matter what the fuck they do about it. Because Dylan gets angry about everything.
Oh, take a drink. I just did the laugh.
Yeah. Like you were saying, like, everything that we grew up with, like Turtles, Transformers, G.I. Joe didn't really have a successful launch, Star Wars, I mean, on and on and on. All that stuff is just forefront again, and I think part of it too, and, you know, I'm a big, huge toy collector, you know, we all read comic books, we got into that. I think a big draw for it is people from our age group, I guess, have kids, and it's friggin' awesome, especially, like, you know, with the stuff my daughter likes that, you know, she geeks out on over. She loves Batman, Harley Quinn, that kind of stuff. But, you know, even my little cousins with Star Wars and Transformers and superheroes and stuff, it is so cool to, you know, watch Avengers with them, or, you know, get them, you know, something.
Well, it was like over the holidays, Jim. I mean, I don't know if you recall when I was with you, you know, in Pittsburgh, and we stopped at that comic book shop, mm-hmm. and I bought a couple of those Pop characters for my niece and nephew.
Yeah.
And how jazzed they were about getting those for Christmas. Like, they, like, when they opened them up, they're like, oh shit, these are, you know, they didn't say shit, but they're like, oh, these are awesome.
That would have been awesome.
Oh God. If my niece would have said that, she would have been mortified. Like, she would have been punishing herself for the rest of the day.
Nice.
But it's awesome.
I'll say this much. In terms of, like, the ridiculousness of just, you know, remakes and reboots, I think the most out there one has to be the fact that that movie Cabin Fever is getting remade. I don't even think that the movie is 10 years old at this point.
I don't even remember the first one.
I think it was Eli Roth's, like, one of his first movies, and they're remaking it. It's just, like, it's such a recent film. This is crazy. Like, Ghostbusters, okay, does it need a remake? No, but you know what? I'm actually still pretty interested in seeing the remake and seeing what they do with it. Plus, I love the cast, so. I had a kind of out there story to tell you guys that I found that you guys might find interesting. Although I will say this, I did just see that we lost a couple more big names this year in 2016.
Oh, fuck, some more?
Yeah, we lost, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I kind of know who heard of him, but a BMX rider, Dave Mira, died and apparently by suicide.
Oh, shit, sure, really? He had a video game named after him.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that, like, when I worked at one of my retail jobs, that was a big seller.
Yeah, apparently he committed suicide.
Oh,
and
wow.
The other one was, and this is kind of crazy because we just saw them perform at New Year's, but Maurice White, the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, passed away.
Really?
74, wow. He died from Parkinson's.
Hmm.
Wow, Dave Mirra was just like, he's today.
Like, yeah.
Holy shit, man. You're, like, right on the cusp of all this stuff.
Well, I just, like, opened up my Facebook, and I saw, like, wow, that sucks.
Oh, again, shit.
I don't really know this
gentleman. Maurice White was today.
Yeah.
Man, I was raving about how great they did Uptown Funk on New Year's Eve, if you recall, on the Pitbull special.
Pitbull.
That was, That was like really seriously, like the 5 minutes of it I watched was them performing that song. I didn't even know they were doing it. All of a sudden I was flipping through the channels and they were on it. I'm like, oh wow, this is really cool. And they're like, they finish up the song. They're like, ladies and gentlemen, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm like, nice.
Yeah. Huh? So unfortunately, Dave Mirra had a much more tragic death. No, obviously it's upsetting that he died, but it seems that Dave Mirra took his life with a handgun. So it's unfortunate to hear.
Oh boy, that's unfortunate.
So RIP to those
young age of, at the young age of 41. Eesh.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that has happened.
I'm just reading the news story. That the Greenville, North Carolina Police Department confirmed his death on their Facebook page.
Wow.
Yeah, strange. But anyway, that's not your story.
No, but it's worth noting, and it's unfortunate. Anyway, so in another recent bout of celebrity insanity, and even furthermore, I guess if you want to call it like rock and roll and metal insanity. You guys know the band Puddle of Mud?
Oh yeah.
Man, they were like mid to late 90s, right?
Oh, yeah, they had some good songs.
Oh, like she fucking hates me.
Oh yeah. You know, I think I got that CD. I do somewhere.
So at a recent show, the lead singer Wes Scantlin, I don't know if he was drunk or high, or if there's something else wrong with him, but just stopped the performance. I don't know what the time frame was, and just started calling out this guy in the audience, and just repeatedly accused him, saying, "I'm standing up on this stage, and that guy right there, well, he stole my fucking house," and he just kept saying this over and over and over again. And he just was yelling at him and cursing at him. And finally, he just put his jacket on and the band left the stage. And that was the end of the show. But he just stopped and was like, "That fucking guy stole my house." I've never quite seen anything like that before.
Yeah, that's something. It's weird. Like how.
So it was just really bizarre. I'll see if I can find some more information on it quick.
I was trying to look up. There was another story. I thought it was one of your favorite bands.
Well, I'm watching the video now, and it's pretty cool that he's up there doing what Dilla is saying. He's fucking accusing somebody of doing something, and it's fucked. I think it's cool. So it's fucked. Bye.
Now wait, the story gets more interesting. So since then, Puddle of Mud singer Wes Scantlin was charged, and this was on February 3rd, so this was yesterday, was charged with felony vandalism in L.A. Wednesday, February 3rd, 4 days after a mid-concert meltdown in Ohio.
What the fuck is felony vandalism?
And he caused nearly $7,000 in damage to a Hollywood Hills house he lost in foreclosure last year. He was found squatting at the house on January 9th and arrested. I love that they refer to him as the "She Hates Me" singer. He's not even the lead singer. Wow. He's not even the lead singer of Puddle of Mud. He is the "She Hates Me" singer. Is accused of smashing a window to enter the posh pad on Sunset Plaza Drive just north of the strip and getting a locksmith to change the locks. He also allegedly ripped an alarm system out of a wall and damaged a garage door and some plumbing. I guess he took a really mean shit. "This is my house," the seemingly confused crooner pleaded. This can't be real. No, this is the Daily News. Or is this?
Of course it's real!
This can't be real. Oh my god, it is real! This can't be real.
The more ridiculous it is, the more real it probably is.
"This is my house, man," the confused crooner pleaded with LAPD officers as he was cuffed and dragged from the house last month. Scantlin posted $20,000 bail that day and later traveled to Ohio for a January 30th concert that ended with the raging rocker storming off stage after a bizarre tirade directed at someone in the audience. He singled the spectator out with an expletive-filled rant that accused the unidentified person of stealing it. Now, seriously, do you think the guy that stole your house, if he did steal your house, would travel all the way to Ohio to see you?
Depends on how much money he has.
Oh, my God. That's fucking crazy. He was booked for a misdemeanor and released on $51,000 bail. Holy shit. This was after he was arrested December 17th at Beverly Hills. Oh, that's a different incident. But regardless, it's fucking crazy. Anyway, kids, don't do drugs.
God, you know, I was just listening to a radio show the other day, and they had talked about it before, but I can't remember what band it was that they were talking about. Like, they were playing, it was like a popular 90s band, and they were playing a chili cook-off.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
I want to say it was Smash Mouth, but I'm trying to look it up on Google.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm trying to look it up on Google. The band Smash Mouth, you know, like, hey, now you're an all-star. Yep. You know that band. So I'm trying to look it up on Google. I'm not finding it, but I swear they played a chili cook-off, and the crowd was incited by the lead singer, who started yelling at them because they were, like, a few fans threw pieces of bread that were handed out.
Dude,
by the
organizers.
Dude,
this was recent. This was very recent.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like in the past year. They were incited by the lead singer because he was complaining that a few fans threw pieces of bread up on stage, which the bread was handed out by the organizers of the cook-off. You know, like when you get chili, you know, you want a nice hunk of bread. So he got so angry about it, people started throwing the pieces of bread up on stage at him. Meanwhile, the band behind him starts wants to kick into the next song because they're so like, let's just get on with it and just play our fucking music. Was it Smash Mouth, Dylan?
It was Smash Mouth.
It's just unbelievable, sorry. You know? Which I guess, I mean, we're talking a lot about music and everything like that. And
it's funny, actually, sorry to interrupt, but it's funny you mentioned Smash Mouth because that would kind of lead into something funny that happened to me. But if you had a segue.
Nah, go for it.
So I completely like rearranged a lot of shit in my room, and I cleaned it. I did a lot of dusting, and I pulled out a shelf that I had a lot of VHS tapes on. And as I was pulling it back, I'm getting ready to do the dusting, and I see this big poster. I'm like, what the fuck is that? It's not like a big, big poster, but it's like one of those posters you'd get at a concert where it's like it's taller than it is wide. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I pick it up, and it's for this guy named Leroy. And I'm like, holy shit. And I found the poster to this guy Leroy, who was the opening band for when I went to my first concert, which was, as the band we were discussing, was Smash Mouth. And I couldn't believe I still had this fucking poster, and it's been sitting back there since 2011. So it's 2016 now, right?
Five
so
years.
Sitting, I'm sorry, not 2011. I'm 2001.
Which?
Okay. Oh my God! Imagine 2011. My first concert was Smash Mouth. Sorry, I missed.
So like 15 years.
Yeah, it's been sitting give back there for like give or take around 15 years, and I just like uncovered this fossil, and I couldn't fucking believe that I still had that, and I. It just blew my mind.
Was it Leroy Jenkum?
No, it was not Leroy Jenkum.
Leroy Jenkins!
Leroy Jenkins!
Very nice. It's always fun, like, when you discover, like, a part of, like, your own history. Like, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I found this. And it ends up being something, like, you know, that you hadn't even thought about or given a thought. And there it is, like, right in front of your face, you know?
Yeah, I do think this is the guy, and he's about 50 years old. And
wait, what?
I think this is him.
You guys,
I mean, the picture you showed, he looked young.
Well, that picture, yeah, but I mean, that was a while ago.
Well, I guess if like he was like in his mid-30s, I guess, yeah. I mean, he would be like 50.
Yeah, this is the guy. Holy shit. I just went on his website and I found the picture.
He went from angry Dylan to excited Dylan.
Holy shit. I can't tell what this guy's deal is. He looks like he's trying to be kind of metal, but he's not. And I don't know. In this picture, he kind of looks like the lead singer from Mastodon, but he's definitely not metal. Wow. Holy shit, that is him. His name is Leroy Miller. Actually is part of Smash Mouth now. As of 2008. Really? As of 2008.
Wow.
They must have really got along during that tour you were at.
Yeah. He had two songs that were... I don't remember anything about him, really, or his music. But I wonder if we could get him to do, like, a theme song for us. We'd have to see what kind of music he's like, you know.
I don't know that we'd necessarily want him.
Probably not. Anyway, that's all I
have. I like the opener we have. I think it's got good character, you know? We all worked on it together, you know?
But what if we just got him to, like, say it?
Just it?
Yeah, you just gotta say it.
Maybe what is it?
Like some, like saying say the opener. You know, like when we got Ming to do it.
Well, yeah, because Ming was on the an episode.
I'm just saying. So if we could get any like celebrity to do to read the opening, who would you guys want?
Well, you know, I mean, we were talking about, you know, like Quigley, you know, being on an episode in Brantford. We should have him do a read there. Because, I mean, I don't necessarily know, like, if we should, you know, have him do one tonight. But maybe in Brantford we'll have him do it.
I think so.
And then, of course, you know, like one of our other good friends, Paul Saunders, will have him do one.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, I mean, the ultimate coup would be obviously, you know, I mean, we're big fans of Kevin Smith. So having Kevin do that read would be fucking amazing.
Is there like one celebrity you guys would want to have do the opening? I could think of one guy that I think would be, I could think of two people that would be awesome.
Oh, geez. Like I'd want I was going to say like James Earl Jones or like,
I was going to say either Keith David would be good. You know who that is?
No.
He was the voice of Spawn in the cartoon. And he's the black guy with the really intimidating voice.
When did they do the Spawn cartoon?
Back in the 90s. You would know him. He was in They Live and The Thing.
That was Roddy Piper.
No, he was the other guy in They Live.
I know who my all-time number one pick would be.
The other person I was going to say was Kevin Conroy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was another one I was going to say. But
you guys mentioned my number two and number three, but my number one all-time pick, and you guys both are going to be like, who? Peter Cullen.
Oh, Optimus Prime. He'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be fucking... amazing.
He's got a great voice,
dude. It's fucking Optimus Prime.
We should get the other guy. That would be good. We should get the other guy too, Frank Welker.
Oh my god, you could have Frank Welker do fucking Starscream, Megatron, Soundwave, Cobra Commander.
He could just do like growls and snorts.
Yeah,
but I want to say the black guy that's in all the movies.
Samuel Jackson.
No, the other one. Morgan Freeman.
Oh, I was gonna say not. Samuel Jackson and, who's the one that was in the Matrix? Oh, my God.
Oh, Larry Fishburne.
Yeah. Lawrence.
Like when they got, remember they got confused for each other?
Man, that was so funny on that.
I kind of think I'd want Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys listen to Bob and Tom, but there's a guy on there that does a great Morgan Freeman voice.
But, man,
Oh, you watch The Walking Dead, Mike. I know Dylan doesn't. He's angry about it.
Yeah.
The guy that goes out with Daryl to scout for people to recruit.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his video of voice impressions?
No.
Oh my god, the dude is fucking good.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Let me find it. I'll send it to you guys. It's good stuff.
Sure.
I have another name for the reading
of the intro.
Mm-hmm.
But rest in peace, John Ashley. How Who's awesome that? Would it be to have the dude that read the A-Team intro to read that?
Oh, that would be great.
Well, fuck yeah. I mean, that would be the obvious one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
of course. Of course that would be... That would be the ultimate. I mean, that's who it's based off of. Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely. I didn't know what the guy's name was, so I wasn't going to even venture there. But, yeah, I would think that would be a natural. All right. But, yeah, I mean, it would be cool to get a lot of people to do the voiceover, you know, intro type thing. I don't necessarily know if we'd want a song or not. But, you know, I think we're not necessarily geared towards sports per se on this podcast, but I definitely think we talk a lot about entertainment and whatnot, right? So one of the big events that's coming up, you know, this weekend is the Super Bowl.
Oh yes.
And we don't necessarily want to talk about the Super Bowl, but I felt like maybe this topic might be good because we might get a lot of hate out of Dylan to discuss.
I don't really care, because like I don't really follow football. Sorry, I gotta get this. Is Jeff still with us?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna take that as a no.
Oh, maybe he had to go do something and coming back. I don't know.
Well, he's still showing on the call. No, I have 2 of 3 on this call.
Yeah, I'm still showing him, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm still showing him.
Well, he was our special guest for half the show anyway, ladies and gentlemen. So Jeff Quigley.
We'll figure it out. It's no worse. The Super Bowl, yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, we kind of talked about this the other day. We were off the podcast that, you know, you guys weren't necessarily going to watch the game. But, man, these Super Bowl halftime shows are just getting stranger and stranger, you know, as the years go on. And some of them have been great. Some of them have just been awful. So
I feel like most of them have been not good.
Yeah, so, you know, I know you guys don't necessarily, as we were discussing off the podcast, about watching the Super Bowl this weekend or any of that. And, you know, I like to watch football. So these halftime shows are just getting weirder and weirder as the years go on. Like, for instance, like this year, is Coldplay, right? The headliner is Coldplay.
Ugh, boo!
See, I knew we were going to get a lot of hate out of Dylan on this
Coldplay.
Time. So
Coldplay sucks.
So it's like them and like a bunch of other people like all performing. Like, I don't fucking know. The article I'm reading doesn't say that.
I will look it up right now. It's Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars,
oh my god,
some other people.
Oh, so, Bruno Mars was awesome. Like the 1 year he was in it,
he was not bad, dude.
Bite your fucking tongue.
And you know what? I have nothing against Beyonce.
So,
Bruno Mars is talent, super talented. I'll give him that. But I am so sick of every song on the radio being him. I mean, props to him for pulling it off. But
yeah, but I don't listen to the radio, so I don't even encounter that. So, I mean, the radio I do listen to is like talk radio. So what the fuck am I? So this article I found earlier was from Rolling Stone. It was the Super Bowl halftime shows ranked from worst to best. And we'll just kind of gloss over them as we go. So like in 2011, the worst one rated was the Black Eyed Peas.
That was bad. When Slash dropped down.
Yeah.
That was bad from what I remember of it.
Yeah, and they were like in costumes and shit, and it was weird. And then the next one was kind of funny on this list because they're like everything between 1967 and 1989.
Well, yeah, because I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry, and there's not really that many famous people. Like, Carol Channing was in there, and, like, some other people, but...
It was bizarre, though. George Burns? The Rockettes?
The name I'm seeing the most is Up With People, which I don't know what... It's an educational
organization. Well, I'll explain that. That's definitely a generational gap for you.
Up With
People? Yeah.
But there's college marching bands, Elvis impersonators, Carol Channing, as you said, the Rockettes. Up With People was kind of like this weird, almost religiously kind of thing. Like it was like people doing like, I don't know, like it was like a whole group of, it wasn't like popular singers or anything. It was just like a like a touring singing group type thing. It was weird. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, and it wasn't good then. So I mean, they had them several years too. The next one was in 1991, was the New Kids on the Block.
Well, that's kind of the first one that I'm seeing on here. That's like, okay, that's an actual music group. Now, I'm not
what's
saying
bizarre
it's good.
Is reading what they wrote about it in Rolling Stone. Like, they didn't even do like their big hits.
They did Step by Step. This one's for the children. And then It's a Small World After All, which was sang by a bunch of kids.
Which apparently maybe Disney back-ended that one or something.
Yeah, well, the producer was Disney.
And then the next one was in 2000. It was Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton, and Tina Turner. And
see, so
basically the article says, like, on
it's a weird lineup.
On paper, that sounds phenomenal. But, like, none of them did, like, their hits. They were basically, like, promoting other shit. Like, Phil Collins was there to promote Tarzan.
That was 2000 or 2001?
The date I have is 2000.
Okay, 2000. I heard 2001 for some reason. And Edward James Olmos was the narrator. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Then in, the next one was 92. It was Gloria Estefan.
Okay, and I was just looking at that one.
And the Olympic figure skaters, which it was in Minnesota, so they were doing like a northern sports theme type thing.
What would Brian Boitano do?
And Dorothy Hamill, too. And then in 1995, Patti LaBelle, Tony Bennett, Teddy Pendergrass, and the Miami Sound Machine.
And according to Wikipedia, Indiana Jones and Marion Ravenwood. That's weird.
And it was like...
Weird.
It was like, weird. if you were trying to attract any young people, like, they had nobody there that would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 1990 was Pete Fountain, Irma Fountain. Thomas, Doug Kershaw, and Snoopy.
You gotta fucking love Snoopy, dude.
Evidently, it was the 40th anniversary of the comic strip Peanuts.
It would have been better if it was Snoop Dogg.
And then it was also like a tribute. It was a tribute to New Orleans music. So that's why they had a whole bunch of people that nobody had ever heard of.
Speaking of Snoop Dogg, have you guys seen him narrate the
Oh, yeah, dude. It's fucking hilarious. It's fucking amazing. God. What the fuck is that?
Oh, my God, cuz. They're attacking that alligator.
No, it's a fucking gator. No, get the fuck back.
so
good.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but in 97 they had the Blues Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember. I kind of remember.
That though, right, is that John Belushi was long dead by then.
It was Dan Aykroyd, John Goodman, and James Belushi.
Exactly.
But you had ZZ Top and James Brown.
Sure. So I mean, they're starting to get a little bit better. And who could forget in 2010 they had The Who?
I didn't like that performance.
Who, admittedly, they said that they had never even seen an NFL football game.
Was there a pun in there?
Why?
What do you mean?
Because you said who. Never mind.
Who had never seen a football game?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Neither did I. I don't know what Dylan was trying to say there, but okay.
I think he was giving you more credit for being funny than you were.
Yeah
probably. At this stage of the game, it's not coming that easily.
No, I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, got a drink. I'm almost done with my beer, guys.
Well, so am I. Fuck. This might be my last one, though, because seriously. Whew. So in 1994, they had Tanya Tucker, Clint Black, Travis Tritt, and the Judds.
So we're getting a little bit better now, right?
Well, I mean, that's ranked number 18. And I mean, at that time, country music was pretty big. So.
No, that's true. I mean, country music has, that's the one, I don't know what you call it.
Genre?
Yeah, genre of music that I don't enjoy. I like Toby Keith. I've enjoyed some.
Toby Keith sucks.
Fuck, what's his name?
I swear to God, if you say Blake Shelton, I'm going to smack you.
What's one of the biggest, Garth Brooks?
Luke Bryan? Garth Brooks. Not bad.
You know, there's some.
He's more rock though.
Yeah, that's the kind of country if I listen to it, which isn't much at all.
Oh my God, listen to listen to old country, the good country.
Dude, I just do not like country. I mean, even if you mean like Willie Nelson, old country man. Bleh.
I would listen to Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and all those guys in a heartbeat over this fucking new shit. All they sing about is my girlfriend left and I'm riding my tractor. Fuck you.
Wow, Dylan's maybe has a career as like a country music singer.
Fuck you and your tractor.
Okay, so 2004 was probably one of the most famous ones ever.
2004. The wardrobe.
Give you the lineup: Nelly, Jessica Simpson, Kid Rock, P. Diddy, Justin Timberlake.
Fuck P. Diddy,
and Janet Jackson.
Hey, he was funny in Get Him to the Greek. Actually, he was amazing in that movie.
Actually, I shouldn't say fuck P. Diddy. I never really had an issue with him, but
so I mean, really clearly, the real reason why this one was one of the most famous ones ever was because of Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
Yeah, with the nipple slip.
Right.
Nipple slip.
Which was weird, that thing that was like stuck through her nipple or whatever the fuck that thing was with the sun and all that shit. That was some weird shit, man.
I'm still not convinced that was a complete wardrobe mishap.
Oh, it was totally planned. And it was so talked about. It's like, people, get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
All right. So
Also, fuck Kid Rock.
If that one wasn't good,
you don't like the ball with the bong, the bang, the bang, biggie, diggy, 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 bomb, the bomb, diddy, biggie?
No! Okay.
Not at all.
fucking terrible. All right, what does Kevin Millard always say, Jim?
About Kid Rock?
No, about anything. He's like, oh, it's fucking terrible!
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I thought that's what Dylan Gonzalez always said.
Ruined my childhood!
You know, he would be a fucking good one to have on here.
Yeah, we gotta get him on here one day.
Definitely.
Who the hell's that?
Who
is that?
He played with the zombies this year. His wife played on The Vag. They're real good friends with Jody Simpson and his wife.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
He's really funny.
Yeah, he is fucking hilarious. Funny.
And his wife.
I didn't know the name. I mean, excuse me for.
No, which is funny the way you were like, "Who's that?"
Kevin and Ashley are like two of my favorite people ever.
It's dude, huh? Them two are like perfect for each other, but they're funny themselves, but you put them two together and it's fucking like Lucio Ball, what was his name, Ricardo Montalban. I know, Dylan, you don't know who those guys are, but
I know who he was.
Pure comedy like that. I mean, it's just, they're fucking hilarious.
Come on, Star Trek 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, you go from that, but 1998, you had Boys to Men.
Oh, right.
Oh man, who doesn't want some like nice, smooth R&B for the halftime show?
Smokey Robinson, Martha Reeves, Temptations, Queen Latifah.
Yeah, that just sounds that sounds like the ultimate right there, right? But no, number 15 was Stevie Wonder and Gloria Estefan.
What year was that?
1999.
Oh, the Which year I think after.
I think I would have been all about that, man. That would have been a fun show.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh, man. So they brought out the swing music because that was the thing that year.
Radios. It was sponsored by Progressive Auto Insurance.
Okay, so we're starting to get to ones where like Rolling Stone actually admits that these ones were somewhat good. So like number 14 in 2003 was Shania Twain, Sting, and No Doubt.
So hot.
Okay.
So now
Shania
like
Twain, no. Sting, well, no. No Doubt. All right. Whatever.
They actually admit that Shania wasn't very good, but they say that Sting and Gwen Stefani more than made up for it. That they did messaging. They did like
fine.
They did like a message. They did like a version of Message in a Bottle together, and they said it was really good. And that No Doubt was in Southern California, so it was like a hometown crowd for them. And they did Just a Girl, and it was a really good show for them.
I really dug No Doubt. I liked them.
All right. Well, I'll say this: I've seen No Doubt. I saw them when I was back in high school.
No Doubt.
Some friends. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Oh, don't speak about that.
And it was, hey man, it was a totally enjoyable performance. I do not deny that I had a good time watching that show. I am not a fan of the Police, so by proxy, I'm just not really a big fan of Sting. I just, for whatever reason, don't like them. But Sting, he's an okay dude.
We just lost one of the four listeners we have, Dylan.
Oh, whatever.
He's fucking angry. Where'd you go?
I'm here.
Oh, it sounded like he left.
All right, so number 13. We got to start getting through these because we're running out of time for Jim.
I'm running out of battery.
Yeah. So number 13 was Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We already talked about Bruno a little bit.
Yeah, but the Chili Peppers sucked. Because they weren't even like plugged in, weren't they?
God, I don't know, but
I remember like it was just weird and not good. Yeah. I also just don't really like Chili Peppers, so.
I dig them. 96 was.
I'll say this much. That was a hometown show for me.
What was that, MetLife?
That was MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Well, there you go. So 96 was Diana Ross, which
we don't really have much to say about.
She did a Supremes medley.
Okay.
Tom Petty.
A lot of songs.
Tom Petty was in 2008.
I feel like he was. I'm not really a big Tom Petty fan.
My brother is.
Yeah, I like but Tom I feel Petty. Like he was probably not bad.
I dig him.
All right, top 10. You ready? 93 was Michael Jackson.
Yeah. That sounds pretty iconic.
In the Moon, Billie Jean.
We Are the World, Jam, Heal the World.
Well, I meant like I was naming like some of the songs he did. Did Black and White, Heal the World. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Michael Jackson for me is a weird one because, don't get me wrong, I think most people could probably say they've enjoyed his music or his songs, but I've just never really been a Michael Jackson fan.
How about this? They had like a weird note about this, about the Super Bowl that year. It was 93. You know who did the coin toss?
No.
O.J. Simpson.
Get out!
Wow.
What year was he or that whole thing happened?
It was like 94, I think.
I was going to say it had to have been close.
Yeah, I think it was the year I graduated high school. So it was 94.
Fuck, man.
All right. So number 9 was in 2005, Paul McCartney.
That part's probably good.
It was decent. I remember it. It was
alright. I'm just not a huge Paul McCartney fan.
I'm not either, or Beatles, but...
You know what? I respect the Beatles for everything they did for music. It's not music I typically listen to, but Paul McCartney just kind of annoys me.
I like the Beatles' music. I just it's one of those ones where if I hear it, I'll jam to it or listen to it, but I never think to like, oh, let's play some Beatles. I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah, I'm generally never in the mood for it.
Are we talking about the Beatles still or something else?
No, the Beatles.
Okay.
I mean, he did Drive My Car. He did Live and Let Die. I mean, I would have been.
I like that song.
I would have been happy to hear that. 2015, Katy Perry and Missy Elliott.
Okay, you know what? That was kind of an out there performance with like the whole Katy Perry thing. But like overall, weirdly, like wasn't that bad. And like Missy Elliott was really cool when she showed up. That was actually pretty cool. So I don't know. It was pretty out there, and like the things. That was one that I think I watched that one at a friend's house or something, and that was definitely not that bad. Even though Katy Perry, like, she can't sing, which is weird, but whatever. Spectacle point of view, it wasn't so bad.
Sure. I mean, she put on a good show.
Oh snap! Sorry to interrupt, but since we didn't announce any people that we've lost this episode. Dylan, I doubt I'll know this one, but Axl Rotten found dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, who's that?
Oh, man.
He's a wrestler, Axl Rotten.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate. So we've lost three people in the course of this podcast.
Yeah, Brian Knighton is his real name.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate. But, yeah, I know he had a lot of health issues.
Yeah, he was a good wrestler, entertainer. I liked him.
Yeah, there was a lot of health problems with that guy. I know, like, over the last few years, he had a lot of struggles. So, not a huge surprise. It's just unfortunate to hear, you know?
Right, no doubt.
Oh, boy. It's just, man, wow. Just to, I mean, to hear just people, so many people we've lost this year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like Dylan mentioned earlier, Dave Mira through, you know, suicide, and Axel Rotten, and who was the other one that was
the
also
guy
on?
From Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, Maurice. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah. Yeah, Maurice.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully we don't lose these guys anytime soon, because I tell you what, they put on probably my favorite concert last year. And they performed at the Super Bowl in 2006. Number 7, the Rolling Stones.
See, I feel like I recall that being, like, not a good performance.
Well, I mean, they rated it number 7. I mean, you know, they did a couple of their standard songs, you know, Start Me Up and Satisfaction, you know, and, I mean, Mick's a freaking showman. The one thing he says is they said Mick joke before they played Satisfaction. He's like, this one we could have done for Super Bowl I. And that was, I mean, it was 2006. So, I mean, it was like literally like, I mean, what, 30, 40 years or some 40 years, I think, at that point. Yeah. Yeah. Because this is Super Bowl 50 this year. So that was like 40 years in. And he's like, yeah, we could have played this one at the first Super Bowl.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the show. I saw this this last summer in Buffalo. It was excellent. All right. So number 6 was in 2012. It was Madonna, which, I mean, from what I've gathered, she's always put on like a great stage show. I don't know if her singing is necessarily up there, but she had CeeLo Green with her and Nicki Minaj. And I mean, like,
I kind of like her support better. Although, I mean, LMFAO, she had Cirque du Soleil. That's fucking corny, though.
Yeah. Cirque du Soleil is amazing.
No, it's not. It's dumb.
All right. What? So Dylan, number 5, 2009. Some of your hometown boys.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
And, yeah, I loved it.
Did you really?
I liked it. I mean, you know what? No, to me, no Super Bowl halftime show is a good, like, a great performance. But I'm like, Springsteen, you know.
I mean, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, Born to Run, Glory Days.
He did all the hits.
Yeah. I mean, I'll actually be seeing him at the end of the month here in Buffalo.
That's cool. Yeah. I've only seen him once.
Yeah, my brother is a huge fan.
I mean, I love Springsteen. I love Bruce. He's the man. Yeah. He's the boss.
Yeah. So now here's one that I've always been kind of about, but it got rated number 4.
Okay.
2001. Picture it. I'm entirely excited to see this performance.
Oh, and, God.
And then it just kind of, I didn't really care for it. Mary J. Blige, Nelly, NSYNC, Britney Spears, and Aerosmith.
That sounds really bad.
I didn't really like it.
It sounds really, really bad. Also, it's a pre-recorded intro skit with Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, and Adam Sandler.
Really?
That sounds really bad.
Yeah, I couldn't get around it, really. I was thinking back about it when I was reading this earlier today, and I was just like, it just didn't work for me. It really didn't. But they rated it pretty high. They liked it. And I think maybe it was the pop, the more modern pop artists that were involved in it. They really dug that part of it. But number 3 was 2013. Someone that we had mentioned before that I think is in this year's Super Bowl. It was halftime show. Is Beyonce.
Well, I'm down with Beyonce. Wait, was that when Beyonce, like, when, like, her shirt flew up and we saw everything? Or was
Fuck,
that a different show?
I have no fucking clue.
I remember something. Hang on a second. Beyonce. Oh, that was the year of Beyonce and her faces.
Hmm.
That was,
yeah.
I distinctly remember, like, she made some interesting faces that at the Super Bowl, like kind of scary and very intimidating, but it was a pretty good performance. I don't know. I have nothing against Beyonce. So,
Huh. Okay. Number two was probably one of my most favorite ones ever. And I was just amazed by how good this person was in their performance. Was 2007, Prince.
Sure.
It was, oh, dude, it was so fucking good. It was amazing. I couldn't believe how good it was. I mean, the instrumentation, like his band and everything, man, it was just dead on. It was dead to rights. And then they jammed it on All Along the Watchtower, and then went into a jam on Purple Rain. It was a fucking epic performance.
Well, Prince, I mean, he's a very talented dude. He's kind of a strange guy, but he's very talented.
All right, so we're up to number one.
Okay.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this one. So I know you have very strong feelings about some of these bands.
Though, this better not be who I think it is.
It might be. It was 2002. So you picture it. I mean, it's, you know. It's
God damn it.
It's 4 months after 9/11, right?
God, and I fucking hate you too.
Man, you know, we can't even bury the lead here. So yeah, 2002. It was you two.
That's so, the best one. Oh my God.
Well, so they're playing the song MLK, and all of the names of the people that lost their lives in the 9/11 attacks are scrolling on the screens that are behind the band as they're playing the song.
Okay. You might have to edit this because it sounds pretty insensitive. Okay. I just want to stress, in no way, shape, or form do I mean any offense to people who lost their lives on September 11th. I just don't like fucking U2. It's not even U2. It's like, I just don't like Bono.
I don't necessarily know if we need to edit that out, but I mean, I kind of had a feeling that this might be one of those more derisive ones where, like, you might not necessarily care for him, so that might lead to you not really caring for the performance. But there's no doubt that it was probably one of the more emotional performances at
the Super Bowl. Oh, absolutely not.
And that it had, like, a whole lot more meaning than any of the ones prior to it. And a lot of the ones after it. But yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I actually enjoy their music. I haven't listened to the new album that came out and they put on everybody's iPhone, iPod or whatever last year, but just because I haven't gotten around to it. But you know, I don't have any issue with them.
I do not enjoy you too. There's a couple of songs that I think are okay, but I genuinely do not like them, and that's mostly because I just can't stand Bono.
Understood. All right. So, I mean, I know you guys don't care about the game, so I think that's probably where we're going to leave our Super Bowl talk, and that's all we need to talk about as far as the Super Bowl goes.
I was going to say one thing, though, before we cap this up. If you guys could have, and we can make this quick, if you could have a pick in who would be your halftime performer, who would you want to see perform?
Ooh,
that hasn't performed already.
Could it be anybody that's dead or alive?
Currently living.
Oh, okay.
Do they still have to be a band? Like, together?
They probably should be.
This is tough. Well, I'll tell you what. I think Jim's kind of chewing on this one a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really trying to think. I can't.
His question, I think, is kind of convincing him not to go with the answer that he was going to go with. So I'm going to go with that answer just because. I'm going to say, and I'm going to fuck Dylan's rules. I'm going to say original or illusion lineup of Guns N' Roses just to fucking blow the roof off the damn thing.
Okay, that's fair.
So, like, either you have Axl Rose / Duff McKagan, Izzy Stradlin, and Steven Adler, or you can throw in Matt Sorum and Gilby Clark, or any of the combination of those seven. You know what I mean?
Right.
So any combination of those guys involved, and that's your Super Bowl halftime show just to fucking just blow the roof off the fucking joint. And they play him.
Who's
obviously
your special, yeah.
Obviously,
no special guest.
No, they don't need them. No special guest. Okay. So they're gonna play Welcome to the Jungle. They're gonna play Sweet Child of Mine and
Patience.
Just because I like the song, they're gonna play Civil War.
Civil War would be a good one. That's probably the best Guns N' Roses song.
Oh, it's probably hands down my favorite.
You know, song I really like one. That I don't know whether. You know, it wasn't very popular with Como.
Not bad. It's not a bad choice.
So it's not my favorite. It's just, for whatever reason, that song really, like, stuck out to me.
It's long.
Yeah, it is. It is a little too long, but it was good. God, dude. Well, you called it, Mike. I mean, that was the first band that popped in my mind, but that's why
I kind of had a feeling it may have.
Yeah, that's why when you said current, that's why I asked current bands, because, I mean, I know they somewhat got back together to do some shows, but... I don't know, dude. Other than them, I can't really think of anybody that I would be like, God, I fucking got to see that show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that haven't performed at it, but really I've seen them. So it's not like anything that I would be like really hugely jazzed about seeing in that environment. I mean, you could throw like a Bon Jovi at it and it would be fine, but I've seen it, you know, I don't know. I don't know who else you would throw at that thing. And
I mean, like even the bands that I really liked, like growing up and stuff, like Poison, Motley Crue. I mean, I couldn't even.
There you go. There you go. I got it for you, Jim.
Is this gonna be the Paul Saunders lineup?
No, we're gonna do Motley Crue, but like they're gonna have like the fucking stage set that they had for like their retirement tour, where like. Tommy Lee has the fucking roller coaster drum kit thing.
That was good.
And that he like flies out over like throughout the stadium on the fucking thing. And they play, you know, like, I don't know, fucking Shout at the Devil, Girls, Girls, Girls. And
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, there you go. And he's playing in that thing the whole time. And he's just like kind of just floating around the stadium while the rest of the band's playing.
There you go.
All right. So, I mean, I think we're good. I think we can close this episode.
Well, I didn't say anything.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. You posed the question. What's yours, Dylan?
I think if I had to go like with an older school act, it's kind of, I don't know why it's kind of out there, but I would say I would want to see
Morrissey?
I would want to see Anthrax and Public Enemy. Cause that would just be fucking shit. Like do a, you know, just, but if we had to go modern, I mean, you guys are probably like, oh, this is fucking stupid, you know, Dylan, but I'd probably go Kanye with guest appearances from like Nicki Minaj and to bring in some old school, probably bring in Ice Cube and Dre and somebody else just to do Straight Outta Compton. Cause that song fucking rules.
Hmm. Okay.
That's
who I want. A little bit of a different route.
I think Kanye would blow the fucking lid off of the fucking Super Bowl.
I mean, of the two that you said, I would think that, I mean, the latter with Kanye and whatnot would be more accessible than Anthrax and Public Enemy. But
no, if we're going. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I could see it.
I think Kanye would be awesome at the Super Bowl halftime, and he could literally get anybody to show up with him.
If we're going down that route, I mean, I was thinking rock, but if we're going down that route, fucking NWA with Snoop and Eminem.
I'd rather go Kanye, but that's just me. Kanye.
And I have one caveat, though. At the end of it, since it's live, hopefully, you know, since the boob slip, I'm sure they have the delay or whatever. But as they'd walk off stage, all of them would have to flip the finger and say, fuck you, Suge.
Awesome. So my vote goes to Kanye. Mike's goes to Guns N' Roses. Jim goes to...
Mine's still Guns N' Roses.
And yours is Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody that I would think that... And Mike's right. I mean, I think that they would blow the fucking roof off of it.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to close this episode out.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JimsBBQPod. You can also email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Check us out. Email us. Do whatever the fuck you want. Message us on Facebook. Tell us you like us, hate us, whatever the hell you want to do. Oh, and thanks for... Jeff, for joining us this week, and
we lost you.
Joining us for an episode and a half, we had him on episode 11, and he was on for episode 12 for a little bit, and we appreciate his input and everything, and it was cool, and we'll have him on again.
Maybe we can record a separate goodbye and just tag it in here and just be like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, I had to go juice or something."
You had to go juicing.
Maybe, yeah. Who knows.
I don't know.
But either way, thanks for visiting Jim's Barbecue, where we always hand rub our meat.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye.